know, just as Brother Bud was saying that, man, you know, everything in the Word of God, right, is related to the tabernacle. Right, and in this place, I mean, of course, the scripture is saying that, because this was the place of bread, where, I mean, you find the bread, but it was the way of your...
You certainly may.
This is, I mean, in this holy place, yeah, the table of silver, there is a lampstand, and of course, there is the altar of incense. Right, and now, the priest, right, I mean, for you to offer, you know, anything, the bread here, you should not have any blemish. It says that the blind should not get the answer to that if you are blind. If you are lame, you cannot go in there to do that. And if you are broken-footed, it is impossible. Flat nose, no way. Right. You cannot go in there because, I mean, those things were termed as a defect that will not allow you to offer unto God. Amen.
You know, if I may just insert, the flat nose is speaking of a lack of discernment.
Yeah. Amen. It's not a physical flat nose, because if not, all of us Africans. We're not so bad, but he's talking about spiritual flat nose, amen, that you cannot discern. You know, of course, each of these things that the scripture is talking about have meaning. You're blind, you cannot see. I mean, you're not born again. I would say that, if you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God, right? You're lame, you cannot walk according to the word of God, right? You're broken hand. You have a broken hand. You cannot do the will of God, right? So it says they should not enter into this place. You know, no way. And now you understand that when Jesus came, he started looking for the blind.
Hallelujah. Right?
And he will heal them.
Amen.
Amen. The reason was not because of the natural, only the natural healing, but so that they will be able to enter.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The lame, he healed them, so that they will be able to enter. Amen.
Amen.
So he started healing people. In fact, to the point when John the Baptist, you know, was in prison. I said, go and ask him, you know, whether he's the Christ. And what was his reply? What was Jesus' reply?
Right.
Go and tell John the Baptist that the blind, they are seeing.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
The lame are walking.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Meaning that these people, they can now enter.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
They can now go in to the holy place. They cannot offer bread to God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But there was one woman, in fact, I'm trying to look for the scripture, that had a bent back, you know, a crowbar. She crowbar. Also in the scripture, you see that according to the scripture, she should not enter. It's crowbacked, I think, in that Jesus healed. It should be in, I'm looking for the scripture. So this woman was not supposed to enter. And this was one of the women that Jesus healed. I want us to look at the woman. You know, what was the problem? You know, because she couldn't see. Right? She could walk. You know, I mean, she could hear. But the big problem was her posture, right? You know, she could not, you know, I mean, her posture was like this. And because of her posture, it will certainly affect her vision, right? Instead of looking up, in heavenly places was looking down on the things of the earth, right? Because of the back that was bent. Amen. The back that was bent. So, I mean, our focus and everything was not up there, was down. Even though she could see, she could not look up. Even though she could see, her focus was right down. The things of the earth, the things that are around her, the things, you know, that are, you know, that she could see around. And because of that, she was short-sighted. You know, she could not see afar off. She was like always like this. That even if she could see at any point in time, it would be out of real, real, real strain. And that will not last for long. You know, because it is possible that you can jump this way and by the time your feet gets to the ground, you're back again, right there, looking again at the things of prayer. You know. I don't know, maybe you have not been there, but I have been there. You know, looking at the things of the earth, focusing on the things that are around me, and not focusing on God. You know, maybe there will be one revival, and then, oh, yes, I can see God, and by the time you know it, I'm back again, looking at the things of the earth. You know, no way to move on with God. Just around me, short-sighted, just looking at the things around me, could not see afar. You know, but the Lord, what happened was that the Lord healed this woman. Amen.
Amen.
In fact, I'm looking for that scripture.
Luke 13:11.
Amen. Yes, 13:11. And can someone read for us from verse 10?
And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work, in them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being the daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?
Amen. Just in hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, I mean, this woman is a daughter of Abraham, and this Satan has bound this woman. Amen. Hallelujah. And so the Lord said, look, I mean, can this woman not be loose even on the Sabbath day? Right? If you have an ox on the Sabbath day, I mean, it is tied somewhere or it falls into a pit. Wouldn't you go out to get that thing? Amen.
Amen.
You know, and you know, you hear the voices of the enemy, you know, trying to resist what the Lord wants to do. To restore sight. To restore the vision, you know, unto people. Right? Saying that, oh, no, you should not do this, you should not do this. Limiting, you know, the people of God, right, from coming to God. But exactly, Jesus said, Woman, thou art loose from thy infirmity. You know, I feel like the Lord is speaking to me, right? Delivering me from my infirmity. Delivering me from not seeing the right things. delivering me from, you know, focusing on the things of the earth instead of on God. Amen.
Amen.
So you know, it is just an encouragement, brethren, that know that the Lord wants to heal us. He wants to deliver us. And the aim is so that we will be able to enter here. You know, don't say that I am seeing when you are not, or you are seeing the wrong things. Right? We need a touch, you know, on our back so that we'll be able to walk upright. And to be able to see afar off. And to be able to lift up our head unto God. To look at the things in the heavens and not the things on the earth.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I think it's just an encouragement.
Amen.
When I get into your loneliness, when all things that surround me become shadows in the light of you.
Sharing with us, wanted to take it just a bit higher, expand it a bit more, sorry, not higher, but expand it a bit. We could look at that, and it's not only dealing with a situation in the natural, but with one person, but if you look at the woman as a church, and the condition that she's in, you could almost apply it to the religious arena of church today, in that the church has brought people to a position or a place of Well, the Bible calls it here he calls it an infirmity, and it's interesting that word infirmity. It's translated infirmity 17 times, weakness 5 times, disease 1 time, sickness 1 time. One time of the body, it's a native weakness and frailty, feebleness of health or sickness, but of the soul, a want of strength and capacity to understand a thing, to do things great and glorious, to restrain corrupt desires, to bear trials or troubles. All of which of these explanations you can put on the church in Christendom in general, because the church does not teach us how to overcome. But it's also another interesting thing here is that he did not go to the woman. Now, you would think in the condition that she was, it sounds like she was bowed over considerably, where, you know, maybe the only thing she could see was her feet. I don't know. But it was bowed over. He called the woman to come to her, to come to him. Now, you would think that in natural compassion and everything because of her affliction that he would go to her. But she had to come to him. And I don't imagine that would have been a very easy thing for her to do. But in order for her to do it, in order for her to be healed, she had to do it. So it really highlights our position of responsibility concerning the Word of God. We have to be the ones who initiate the actions. One of the scriptures that come to me in that respect is that it talks about the gates of hell shall not prevail. And maybe we should find that scripture and read it. But that statement is not a passive, that is not describing a passive position. It is being applied to, it is an aggressive situation, as in storming the gates or putting pressure against the gates in order that they might be broken. And it really is kind of highlighting the position or the tenacity that you and I have to demonstrate with the Word of God. Yes.
It's Matthew 16.
Okay.
Verse 18.
Can we read it?
Yes. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Okay. And the rock that he was talking about was not Peter.
Oh, it wasn't.
As some church organizations attribute to it, but he was talking about the revelation that Peter had of Jesus. If you'll read up a few more verses there.
17?
Well, I'm not quite sure how far you have to go.
Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah.
No, he asked him a question.
Okay.
And then he answered.
15. Do you want to, he saith unto him, but whom say ye that I am?
Yes. Now, Jesus was asking his disciples a question.
Well, 14 said, and they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have
not revealed this unto you,
but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock.
This is the rock was the revelation that Jesus was the Christ of God that would bring salvation. Now, in the Jewish thought or the Jewish training or understanding of that word Christ, it was indicative of a greater position of influence that was working with humanity to present and to bring the rule of God into a place of preeminence. I think it's also interesting here that this was on the Sabbath day, because what it speaks to me, there's a scripture in Genesis. Well, you should read that one first. Genesis chapter 2. It says, "Thus the heaven and the earth were finished." That's verse 1. "And all the host of them," the heavens and the earth were finished, "all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his works which he had made." We have the misinterpretation or the misimpression that God finished his work on the sixth day. But that's not what the Bible says. He says he finished it on the seventh day, and on that day he also rested. But the work was finished on the seventh day. And here we have Jesus coming on the seventh day to loose a woman. Now, just put it in the context of the end time and the church of God in this hour, who has been bound by religious philosophy, religious ritualism, religious doctrines that have robbed them of the strength or the reality of the eternity that is in them and around them. And it says that God specifically came, called her to come, right? And he says, "This day thou art loosed." So what it says to me is that there is a strength that God is bringing to that condition of the church overall that will give them the capacity to not only understand, but to be able to walk upright. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So it is really a very exciting, exciting thought for us, because it pertains to you and I today in the aspect and how we might have struggled with situations or with circumstances, how we might have struggled with personalities and other type of oppression that comes to us on the human level through the very many avenues that is open to us that are wanting to keep us down in that position of servitude. Hallelujah. And really, the position is a position of servitude. It's like you are bowing to the earth and the conditions of life and the circumstances that are around you. One of the things that happened here in recent, not too long ago, was a situation where a person was in a job doing a certain thing, and there were forces working in that environment to push them out of that job or to eliminate their ability in that job, in that place, to perform the will of God. And we all went to prayer about it, and God moved in a miraculous manner. I'm not going into all of the details of it, but God showed the position or the place of our authority to take control over that situation. Now, there was the conscious thought that the will of God was that they would remain in that position, and that the that in that there was something that God was doing with their circumstances, not only with their job and whatnot, but with the circumstances in which they were in. And we had the right to come to order the business of the day. And I'm telling you, the way God turned it around was so miraculously, even beyond, I think, what we expected or what we anticipated. But to me, it's a testimony of the position of authority that we have if we are wanting to do the will of God. Now, it's not just a simple thing of doing it and having it turn out all right. In the midst of it, there's a lot of confusion, maybe a lot of trouble or tribulation that is going on that is trying to push us one way or the other. But we have to hold true to the fact of what it is that we believe concerning the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. I always tell people, do not do things because of circumstances. Do things because you have a word. And if you don't have a word, then you should not be pressing to do something. Hello? Hallelujah. And, you know, there's a lot of times we let our circumstances dictate us to what we do or we do not do. Hallelujah. And that is not the case here. That is not the case. We have a position. Now, I'm talking about those of us who are coming into an understanding of the Word of God as it applies to us in the aspect of being made conformable to His image, that we might be sons. Because that's what Jesus Christ wants. That's what God wants. The God the Father wants. He wants sons. That's what He wants. That's what He's wanting. And that's what He's going to get at the end of the day. Now, whether I am in that company or not is totally dependent upon me and how I handle the Word of God. We do not make decisions on the basis of hearing from God. We get into a situation, we make a decision, and in the making and the doing of that decision, we get into trouble, and then we pray. Because we're in trouble, we don't have a word, we didn't have a word, we didn't move, we might have felt like it, I feel this is God. Well, if you're blind, feeling is good. If you're blind, feeling is good. But you're not blind. You're not supposed to be blind. You're supposed to have your ears wide open and your eyes wide open, your ears unstopped. You're supposed to be working on a relationship with Jesus Christ to bring you into the totality of what it is that God has for you as an individual. And we have to get out of our church mentality. Someone once said to me, well, if the door opens, I'm going through it. I said, well, praise the Lord. I hope that on the other side of the door, there's a floor or a platform on which to stand. Hallelujah. Because sometimes you go through a door and you find yourself in free fall. Hallelujah. And we who are coming into a greater awareness of Jesus Christ. Now, this woman must have somehow heard something about Jesus, must have had some inkling of an idea in her mind that if she could get to wherever he was, hallelujah, she would possibly be healed. And I say that because of some of the other past experiences Jesus had of people coming to him and asking them to heal something or to fix something. And one particular incident was with a man who came, who was a centurion. He came, and he asked Jesus to do something for him, to heal somebody. And Jesus wanted to go to his house. And he says, no, you don't have to go to my house. He says, I am a man under an authority. He recognized that Jesus was a man under a spiritual authority. He said, I am a man under authority. I tell this man to go and do this, and I tell that one to go and do that, and they go and do it. He says, you can just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. The person whom I am asking you to heal will be healed. And Jesus says, I have not seen so great a faith in all of Israel. Now, this was a Roman centurion. This wasn't an Israelite. Hallelujah. This was a man of war. But this woman must have had, something in her that was driving her to get from where she was, and we don't know where she was, but I can guarantee you that she probably wasn't in the close vicinity to where Jesus was. She had to go to where he was, and we don't know how much difficulty she had. I suggest sometimes that you bend yourself over and tie yourself to your legs or something, or you can't stand up, and see what kind of difficulty you have in motivating around. But she had to put forth an effort. And I don't know, being in that kind of condition, well, I think it would be painful too. There would be something stopping her from straightening up. You understand? Some pain or whatnot would stop her from straightening up or something. So it was not an easy thing for her to do. And if it's indicative of you and I, if it's indicative of the church in this hour, then quite frankly, what we do with what it is God is giving us, we are going to be assessed on the basis of what she did and what she received. Have you ever thought about that? Hallelujah. Because there are certain situations, certain circumstances that set a benchmark. They set a benchmark. Mm-hmm. And everyone in humanity is going to be measured by that benchmark. Hallelujah. So we really need to take a good hard look at our situation and our lifestyle and the things that we are doing that keep us in a position of being bound where it is that we are not able to see the reality of God. So praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Maybe someone else has something to say, or some questions to ask maybe, but...
Oh, okay. The centurion.
Okay,
Matthew 8 about the centurion.
Oh, I marvel at the wisdom of
my God. You know, as I've been hearing since Friday up to now, you know. You can see you for this thing, bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about this song now. Mm-hmm. It's a very simple song, mm-hmm. but it speaks volumes.
Yes.
So let's sing it. So I got a garato. God says that if he can care for the lily. So beautifully arranged, as you know, that it's definitely going to help us. You know, so what is man that he are mindful of him? So God is mindful. He's only acting, requiring our cooperation in this work.
Amen.
He prepared to take us to the highest level, to freedom.
Oh, I marvel at the wisdom of my God. Yes, I marvel at the wisdom of my God. When I think I'm merely pushing up.